Trevor, meanwhile, who had once slipped free of the fabled ebony manacles of Sharp Spire and had escaped the dungeons of Obelisk Manor, managed to wriggle free from the vines. After slipping loose, he scrambled to his feet and sped straight toward the tree witch herself, and she let him come closer, defiantly staring with her black eyes, until he was within easy reach of her next round of minions. With a flick of one thorny finger, the green sprite summoned a flight of swarm warriors to her aid. Six soldier hornets broke away from the buzzing hive and sped to their target. Trevor's keen eyes could see the curved stingers pulsing in and out of their black and yellow bodies, living venomous daggers eager to penetrate flesh. He stopped in his tracks, his knuckles turning white on Sliver's hilt and fear clutching his chest nearly as tightly. Six fast-moving aerial beasts. How would he defend against creatures that could dart around his swings in the blink of an eye? If he targeted one, the other five would swoop around behind him and plant their toxic barbs in his back. He let out all the air from his lungs, relaxed his tense muscles, and allowed his eyes to lose focus. Trying too hard would be his downfall here, he realized. Reflexes alone could save him now. When the closest hornet was within sword reach, Sliver flickered to life, cutting it in half with the smallest possible movement. Two more attacked from the left, streaking Stinger first in a downward arc. He cut both down in a single swing, then slashed again and ducked. The last pair of monsters buzzed right over his head. Trevor spun and leapt, severing the wings from one giant vermin and the head from another. The whole deadly dance took only 2 seconds, and at its end, Trevor the Red was still alive. And though he'd been victorious by trusting blind instinct, he doubted whether he could do it again. He was but one man, and the hive had limitless warriors to sacrifice for their mistress. He turned back to her. The tree sprite smiled at him, impressed, then drew a circle in the air. 10 more monster bees took up position above her shoulder, ready to obey her commands. Trevor drew the edge of his cloak into a dangling shield, hoping it might be enough to catch and slow a hornet strike. He stole a glance at Ian, who was still fighting with their bewitched friend.
"We have to fall back," Trevor yelled.
"Agreed,"
Ian called, barely avoiding Gregor's mace. Trevor broke into a run before the hornets could catch him. Ian blocked a mace blow, the fierce impact fracturing the bones in his forearm, then responded with a powerful right hook. Gregor dropped unconscious, and Ian fled back toward the horses.
"I think I just broke his jaw," Ian said as they ran.
"He'll understand," Trevor told him.
Then came the song. The air filled with the sweetest voice any mortal had ever heard, its long notes licking their ears and probing their minds like a lover's tongue.
"Don't listen," Trevor yelled. "Yell, hum to yourself, sing a song, anything, just drown it out, like this."
Trevor started singing "The Bell of the Belleville Bowl" as loud as he could. But when he looked over his shoulder, Ian was not there. The dark giant was lumbering back toward the great oak and its lovely granddaughter, answering her evil summons. Trevor kept running and singing until he'd come back to where the horses were waiting. Exhausted and defeated, he slumped against his horse, pressing his cheek against the hard leather saddle.
"It's just me now," he wheezed out of breath. "It's me against all of them. The green enchantress, her vines, a tree, a swarm of monsters, and even against my only friends."
What would he do? What could he do? He certainly couldn't leave his companions to die on the wicked master tree of Songwind Wood. But if he went back to save them, they'd only tear him to pieces and offer his innards to their false fairy bride. All seemed lost. Until, that is, Clever Trevor's eyes fell on Bert's horse and the bow and quiver that hung from its saddle.